You're listening to The Tao of Indifference, sex, dating, and relationship advice for an indifferent world.
Listeners, and welcome to The Tao of Indifference. I am your host, Demetrius, and today I have a guest on the podcast I'm very excited about.
I have Allison on the podcast.
Hi.
Say hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you all? Very excited to be here.
I'm excited to have
you. It's weird to say be here when I'm not anywhere except my own apartment, but I am happy to be in my apartment.
Yes, I am also happy to separately be in my apartment, but also we're in the metaphorical studio. The studio
yes,
of the mind, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. I know who Allison is because I have the internet and I enjoy funny women. For the folks who might not know who you are, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure, absolutely. So I am Allison Arnone, as Demetrius just said. I go by AA or double A in the blogging world, since that's my very creative blog name that I came up with 4.5 years ago and have not changed because it's too late now. I live in New York, just like you do, only I am living in Long Island, and I do work in Manhattan. I am a blogger as well, not full-time. I do gotta pay the bills somehow, and the blog's not doing it. I work at a digital media company in the city, and that's about it. I am also a single lady, which I feel like is relevant here, because you are a dating blogger, and even though I'm not a dating blogger, I blog about dating a lot, so I think that's how we actually met. Putting that in quotes.
Yes.
In the Twitter world, because there's so many of us out there who do blog about this weird world.
Yeah, I think it's always weird interacting with folks who don't primarily use blogging to blog about dating in some way.
Yeah.
So I'll talk to people and they're like, oh, do all the people you know, are they all dating bloggers? And I'm like, actually, no, it's just me. I'm the only person who... It's just me writing about the same thing every day.
I think it's because, no offense, it's our age, probably.
True.
We don't know many dating bloggers because most people our age or in our age range are married. And so I do happen to know a lot of bloggers in the industry and in the networks, but not most of them are not blogging about this type of thing. So when I find people who do, I kind of flock to them because I think there's that common ground and solidarity because this... Navigating the world as a single person in your 30s is very interesting.
Yes,
to say the least.
Yeah, I didn't realize what it would be like going from because the last time I wasn't single, I was at the end of my 20s, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be like this forever. I'm gonna be this good looking forever.
didn't How's that going?
You know, my hair is.
Oh,
grayer.
I think you're like a fine wine. I don't know what you looked like in your 20s, but
yes, worse. I want to say.
All right.
I had a really bad mustache, and not like a cool dad mustache. It was more like, wow, that guy collects really weird porn mustache. Like
Ooh.
It was. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So probably a good idea to get rid of that.
Yes. Yeah. It was.
Chopped 8 inches of my hair off, which I don't know how that's going to bode in the dating world because I know men love long hair, but screw them.
Yeah. Screw it. That's what I say. So you do write about dating, but I like a lot of what you write about in general because you, if I was going to describe you, it'd be like, oh, having a conversation with a really cool friend. You
I
know, like
that.
One day it's going to be about, you know, fashion or here's a funny story about buying shoes or, you know, here's a funny story about dating.
Getting stuck in a shoe.
Yes, or getting stuck in a shoe. Which was, I love that. That was
not one of my finer moments, but it did turn into a good blog post, so I can't hate on that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love that. I love that description. I think that's exactly what I wanted it to be. Even when I started 4.5 years ago and didn't exactly know where it was going to go, I wanted it to just be like everyday life. And I also didn't want to put myself in a bucket and have to adhere to that every single time I wrote. So I didn't want it to be only fashion, even though I love fashion. Because then what happens when you want to talk about something else? Are you going to now annoy everyone who just wants to see your like outfits? So I like that. I honestly, whatever pops into my head, that's what I write about. And it's really like everyday life stuff, current events, a lot of politics as of recently, but not always. Pop culture, my opinions on things, women's stuff, humor stuff, ranting, dating, etc.
Yes, the ranting especially. I think you just...
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I think I just saw that you published something today, maybe?
I did. I have a recurring... I don't have a lot of, like, recurring segments on my blog, just because I'm not at that structured to follow that. But one of the recurring segments I do have is a rant of the day. And it's become, like, a smorgasbord of just me, like, complaining about random little insignificant things that piss me off and I know piss other people off. So one of the examples today was how terrible people are at taking pictures. So let's say you're out in the, you know, the city and you're in Times Square and you're a tourist and you say to someone, hey, can you take our picture and have some like stupid New York City thing in the background? And people are just so bad at that. Like, they'll give you your phone back and you'll look and you're like, dude, my eyes are closed. Like, what are you doing? It's like amateur hour. Or you're all blurry or the centering is off. I hate that. So those are like the little things that I'll rant about. And then I'll get people writing, like, I already have a ton of comments where people are like, I hate that also.
You know, in these times, we really should bond on our hatred.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I feel like, at first I was like, don't write rant posts right now. The world is already dealing with a lot of negative, horrible things. But then I realized these are more funny, lighthearted things, like I said. And it really does create a bond of people hating the same things, which in a way is kind of beautiful,
yeah.
I think.
I think that there's a certain value in having someone else give you permission to just be annoyed by something small when there's just so much bad, like, actual bad things happening. Like,
right. I mean,
sometimes somebody has to be the person, like, you can also be annoyed by this little stuff. I know things are very bleak, but also, like, you know what my thing is? When people hold the door for you, but they're doing it when they're inside the place that you're coming out of. So they're sort of blocking the door while holding it for you.
Oh, I get it.
Like,
I get it.
Like, what? No, both of us can't be in the doorway. You're not helping me. And then it's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for obstructing me.
I also recently dealt with a situation where I appreciated a door holding, obviously. But I was really far away and they were holding it.
Oh.
And I actually was annoyed because I'm like, are you going to make me run now, guy? Like, you should have just went in. You were good. You were golden. I was not that close to you. And now I see him holding the door and I'm like, I'm far. So now I have to, like, haul ass.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. See, these are the kinds of things. It's very, like, Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, little everyday things that annoy people. I've learned it really is. There's so much common ground there. It's just people are just very easily annoyed like I am, which I really love to hear.
So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. So what is one of your favorite rants? One of your rant topics of all time. And speaking of tying it back to dating, and before I do all of that, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, sure, of course. It's just my name. It's very easy. Just AllisonArnone.com. AllisonArnone.com.
That's right. And where are you on Twitter?
AllieA15, I think. I have had that since, like, the inception of Twitter, and I've never changed it.
I don't know. Branding.
I'm pretty sure it's AllieA15. Yes, I know. But I also feel like it's going to mess up things like searching for me or whatever, so I just leave it. But I'm very easily found on the internet, trust me. Ask my boss who has found my writing.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. I used to be really scared about that stuff, but I work at a really cool modern company, and they don't care. But if you Google me, the second result under my name, I think the first thing is, like, some Huffington Post stuff, and then the second is a blog post titled, like, to the guy who sent me a dick pic on the train. If I ever wanted to, like, run for office, I'm screwed, because that's on the internet forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, Mel. You asked me about my favorite rant, and I already know. I've written so many of these, and each one has multiple things in it, but there was only one that actually made me laugh out loud while I was writing it, and it's two words for you, and I don't know if you'll remember it. Hashtag funeral.
What?
Do you happen to... Okay, so I was on Instagram one night, and someone I follow, so not someone I know in real life, someone I follow, had posted a picture, and it was really nondescript, and I didn't know exactly what it was at first, and then I stopped and looked and realized it was a person at a funeral, and the caption, I saw a casket, and I saw a body. It was far away, but I saw it, and her caption was simply funeral, like it was hashtagged.
What?
It wasn't supposed to be funny. It was literally like, I'm at a funeral right now, and for some strange reason, I want to, A, remember this, and B, have my Instagram followers see it. I don't know. And I take pictures of everything, and even I was like, you're crossing a line, lady.
Oh.
But then what happened was, because I'm a naturally curious and weird person, I clicked the hashtag because I'm like, do other people, like, what are you, if you're hashtagging funeral, like, what kind of pics am I going to see? And I saw the funniest stuff I have ever seen on the internet in my life. Whoa, it was pure gold. People are taking pictures at funerals like you would not believe. There's pictures of, they're selfieing in the mirror and writing things like, hey, you know, really sad my uncle died, but looking fresh to death in my suit. Hashtag funeral.
No.
Yes. And I had such a field day. So, of course, it went in the rant post, you know, the following week or whatever. And there were so many funny things in there. I did put some screenshots. Someone used a Snapchat filter on their dead grandma.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No. I shit you not.
Oh my God.
I laughed so hard I was crying. And someone face swapped with a corpse.
Oh.
Which is, I really respect that because I love a good face swap, as you probably know.
I've seen some of your face swaps. And
you've seen my work.
Yeah, some of them are horrifying.
Well, imagine doing it with a dead person. I was a little jealous, but then I was like, God, that is really dark.
That is grim. That is a grim, like...
Oh, it was so funny, though. That rant post, even a coworker came over to me, and he was like, I was just crying laughing reading that. Because it was just the absurdity of the planet, and me just being like, are we serious here? Is this really a thing that you idiots are doing? Like, I've obviously had the really unfortunate luck of being at many wakes and funerals in my life, and I'm very attached to my phone, and guess what? That thing does not see the light of day when I'm at, you know, services, as it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's so, like, I don't want to get any tweets off when I'm at a funeral. Like,
oh my God, and then to even think of taking a picture, like, even this woman who prompted this whole thing, like, why are you taking a photo of the room? Oh. I could see the cast. It was very bizarre, but it unleashed this whole new phenomenon that I did not know about, called hashtag funeral. Go look at it when you have a minute. No!
No! Oh my God, that's incredible.
So that was my favorite. I forget your second question.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what are your favorite rants about dating? One of the first things I read of yours was probably on HuffPo, but I'm pretty sure I saw something about dating. It was probably about ghosting or something.
Oh, God, ghosting. You know what? I actually was going to say I did a whole thing about, like, kind of pet peeves about your online dating profile, but I think ghosting is honestly up there. I've written a few things about it. One in particular was, so you've been ghosted, like, now what? And that post gets a lot of traction, which that's not me bragging and being like, ooh, people loved it. I think it just goes to show you how many people get ghosted and then start Googling, like, help, like, what do I do? And then somehow they get to my post because I wrote it a while ago and I always see it come up in, like, Google Analytics that people are still reading it. And that makes me sad, kind of, because it's just like, this shouldn't be happening at all. And yet, especially in our age range, I think, you know, man up, and I don't actually mean that to just men because women do it too, but like, man up and tell a person you're not interested in them anymore. It's really not that hard. It's really not, I assure you. I've done it before. It's not that hard.
It's such a juvenile behavior that it's still, like, people are just very okay with it, and it's weird. Like, no, don't be okay with that.
I mean, you know what? If you ghost someone, because I think there's a very broad definition, because it's actually not, like, a real term. Yeah. But I think some people will use that term to say, like, oh, I matched with a guy on Bumble, and we were having a really good conversation, and then he ghosted me. And I think you can take that with a grain of salt, because we all kind of do that. And I don't think you necessarily have to feel awful if you were chatting with someone and have never met them, and then you stop chatting with them for whatever reason. But I'm talking people ghost that have actually been dating people more than once. Hanging out with on a, you know, for a long period of time, like, I can't wrap my head around it.
I think the worst one for me was, it was like 5 dates in and she ghosted. And I was just kind of like, why? Like, at this point, what do you think is going to happen if you reject me? Like, I've been rejected before. And it was just like, really? If I get ghosted after a first date, if I reach out and I'm like, hey, it was great to meet you, maybe we can hang out again, and I never get a response, like, oh, that kind of sucks, but understandable. But, like, 5 dates in? Or, like, I can't even imagine dating someone. Like, this is my boyfriend, this is my girlfriend, and they ghost.
Oh. If you do that, you're honestly, you're a scumbag, honestly. Yeah. There's really no reason. I don't care what your reasoning is. You can lie. So if the reason is something you don't feel like saying, you know, if you're not attracted to the person and you don't want to have to say, listen, I actually have really tried, but I do not want to, like, touch you. That's something you may not want to say. But, like, pull out from the book of generic excuses and at the very least drop a "it's not you, it's me," or drop a "I'm just not looking for a relationship right now," or drop some kind of excuse that will let them then be like, cool, all right, I'll move on. But when you don't do anything, that's actually worse. Like, you think you're taking the easy way out, but now you have a person on the other end who's like making up all these scenarios in their head. They also think you might have died, which, let's be honest, we've all like wondered, sort of, is this person actually alive? Is that why? Like, did they die? I think it's just really unfair to have a person start kind of rehashing every little part, like, oh, on that last date, like, I wonder if I had, like, spinach in my teeth or something. It's like, don't make these people crazy. Just, like, give them one little text and move on with your lives. I just don't understand why that's so difficult for people. But, alas, it happens a lot.
It really does. And it's funny that you said that post you wrote on ghosting is so popular, because some of my most popular posts are about ghosting. It's ghosting, yeah. And ghosting and did I enter into this relationship way too soon?
I've read a lot of those,
yeah.
on your site, which are people are like, I went on one date and we decided to be exclusive. Like, was that a mistake? I always think those are funny because I'm like the total opposite, where I'm like, I've been dating a guy for a year. Should we be exclusive yet?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I've been dating him for 10 years. Still haven't met his friends. Should I be concerned?
Sure, yeah, those are funny though.
Why did you get started in blogging?
So I started it in the spring of 2012. So I was living in Manhattan at the time. I actually was in a very long-term serious relationship. I was living with someone. We'd been together for 5 years. And I had a job I really, really hated. So I was really unhappy. And then, sort of a blessing in disguise, they had layoffs and I found myself unemployed. I had always loved to write and always thought about starting a blog, but didn't have the motivation or incentive to just do it. And I felt like this was the time to do it because I had time for once. And I was looking for jobs, obviously, but that only takes, you know, that's not going to take you all day. So I found, and I obviously didn't want to spend money because I didn't have a job. So I kind of was like, all right, let's see how this goes. I've always loved writing and people have always said to me, like, why don't you have a blog? And I started it, and I didn't tell anybody I started it because I wasn't comfortable with it yet. And then slowly but surely, I was like, I think this is okay to send to some people. And it kind of crept its way into the world of people I knew. And I was content with it being that. I was like, it's just going to be for people who know me. So if you look at my early stuff, it's written as if you already know me. I don't explain any background information on anything.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of me now and you read back, you're going to be like, these suck. Because you're going to be like, who are these people she's talking about? But eventually, once my writing grew and I started to get more experience and exposure, that's when it became like more of a, you know, open to everybody and going to get some features on other sites and collaborating with other writers, which is really cool. So that's kind of the history of it. I love doing it. I really do. It's such a great creative outlet for me. And it's just fun. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot of fun
sometimes
when it's fun.
Sometimes it stresses me out.
Yeah. Tell me about it. So you mentioned that you enjoy collaboration, and that's one of the few things that I don't really do a lot of. So I always wonder, because you're like, oh, I have a blogging partner. Like, what is that like?
So just for anyone who doesn't know, my blog is really just my writing, but I have collaborated with some people on little projects. So if I see another blogger who I think kind of writes like me, I'll be like, hey, we should do something together. And we have. But in terms of having a steady writing partner now, I have that in DJ Paris is his name, and he has a blog called Thoughts from Paris. Really funny humor writer. And we met on Twitter, just like you and I did. And I told him that I really liked some work that he had been doing for another website that I used to write for. And we linked up, and then he basically was like, hey, I think we should do something together. Like, what do you think about doing like a humor advice column? So it's basically like the satire version of what you really do, which is like you really give people advice and we give them like screwball idiot advice most of the time. Every once in a while we'll like actually be legit, but we have a different topic each month. So like last time was social media. So like, what are your problems with social media that we can give you some advice on? We've done dating. He is dating, but single for all intents and purposes. We've done parents. That was a funny one because y'all got a lot of beef with your parents, as we learned. And now I can't remember the other. Oh, we did work also, like your job. So it's been a lot of fun and it gives me some accountability because I don't stick to a schedule at all. like, at all, at all. Sometimes I'm like, I haven't written anything in 5 days, and it's not going to happen. And I also don't have consistent posts like this one, so it's given me some accountability in the sense of, like, we put it up every month, and before we put the post up, we put, like, an announcement post up so that people can submit questions, and those are on a pretty strict schedule, so DJ probably hates me because he always has to remind me. He's like, you know, our post is going up Tuesday, and I'm like, is it? Oops. Because I just don't work like that. So it's been cool. And I also really like the column. It's fun to write. It's really different. And people are funny. Their questions are really funny.
Yes.
Whether they're intentionally funny or not.
I've seen some really interesting questions and some really, really interesting answers.
I mean, there are some where DJ and I are like, we can't use this, right? Like, this is just gibberish. And so we'll have to, like, either clean it up or eliminate it. But it is just funny to see how people's minds work and what they consider problems and stuff like that. So it ties into the rant thing a little bit, where people are complaining, like the social media one was people like complaining about, you know, people being passive aggressive on Facebook and stuff. Like, these are very relatable things.
Yes, I think I read through I read through that one and I was like, oh yeah, I don't like any of this. I don't enjoy any of this.
People are really annoying. Yeah,
everyone, I don't get it too much, I think, because I'm not super famous and I'm a dude, but right. Every once in a while I'll see like how people talk to just any woman. She could be writing about anything. It doesn't matter if it's something controversial or cupcakes, and people just like, it's like, you're a whore for writing about pecan frosted cupcakes. And it's like, why, dude? Like,
I know people on the internet are the worst. They really are. I mean, I think our communities are really nice. Like, you and I know, you know, these people on Twitter that we've never met, and we have a really good rapport with all of them. And like, I get a lot of engagement on my blog from them. But then you get these strangers, or trolls as they say, who come out of the woodwork, and I get them a lot on Twitter because that's just like the mecca for it.
Yeah.
And I do tend to have a strong opinion, and especially during the election I would like tweet something, and someone actually tweeted at me that I loved murdering babies.
I mean, never once
murdered a baby.
That's actually, I mean, Allison, that's not true. That's how we met. We met through baby murder meetup group.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I did murder that one baby, but he was looking at me funny and I didn't like him.
You didn't like the cut of his jib, so you cut him.
It's just so absurd. I just find it so funny. I mean, you can't get mad at it. I mean, I understand that some people really do get hurt by, like, the online bullying and stuff, but that's not going to do it for me.
Yeah.
Like, you can get under my skin, but that ain't going to do it. That's actually going to make me laugh.
But that's a great point, because I think we're sort of on the same page. We are on the same page when it comes to politics and women having bodily autonomy.
Oh, yeah.
We would say that.
What a crazy concept.
I would tweet about a lot of the same stuff that you would, especially coming, you know, up until Election Day, and no one ever was like, you murder babies. Like, not once.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it never happened. It's male privilege.
So, it's really bad for my personality type, though. I don't let things go, and I have friends who are like, stop engaging, you weirdo, because these aren't important people, so when they start trolling me in the comments, instead of ignoring it, I tend to, like, go back at them, and then it's just like I'm stooping to the level, so I need to stop. But I obviously went through a very traumatic experience during the election, so if you caught me in a mood, I was like coming right back at you and not doing the whole Michelle Obama, when they go low we go high. I was not doing that.
No. And you know what? Hey, sometimes you gotta go low too. Like,
I was going lower. I was like on the ground crawling.
Yes. It seems like the presidential election has changed the way you blog, at least. Or, you know, there's definitely some more biting writing coming from you.
Yeah. I lost my humor because of it.
Yeah, at first it'd be like, here's a humorous joke, and then it's like, go fuck yourself.
No. Yeah, that was basically my whole November.
Yeah, November 2016, go fuck yourself. Sincerely, Allison. Has it changed the way you date? Because you are single?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, yes.
No, I have an announcement. I'm married. No, yes, it has absolutely changed the way I date. I think I've learned more than ever that it's so much more than just a Democrat and Republican issue these days. I think maybe 4 years ago, if I was single and dating and someone was like, you know, I really like that Mitt Romney guy, I'd be like, okay, I don't agree, but that's fine. We could still, like, do this. But it's a different ballgame now. I think it comes down to something way more than just the political party you affiliate yourself with. I think it actually has to do with, like, core values and morals. And to me, this is the kind of thing that gets me in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. Anyone who supports this president-elect is essentially, to me, saying that even if they're not racist, sexist, or bigoted, that that's not a deal-breaker to them. And that's a deal-breaker to me, if that makes sense.
That's always been one of my deal breakers, but, you know, I feel like it's always had to be one of my deal breakers where I'm like, oh, well, you don't think black people are humans. This is going to be really awkward to date me.
That should probably be a deal breaker for
yeah,
you.
Like,
Yeah, it's just like ghosting. I can't wrap my head around it. Like,
yeah.
You can't defend him to me. This isn't about, like, I can have a respectful discourse with someone, but you lose me once you start defending him. I don't want to hear it. And so, if you're a friend, an acquaintance, even a family member, like, we're going to have to agree to disagree, because I don't get to really choose those people if they're kind of grandfathered in. But if I meet a guy tomorrow, and he's like, make America great again, I'm like, bye-bye, boy-bye.
No, speaking thanks. Of dates, I mean, I already know how you were dealing with the stress of November. telling everybody to go fuck themselves. So I want to go back to, like, ghosting. Like, what happens when Allison gets ghosted, or Allison deals with a guy who is inconsistent or shady or flaky? Like, how do you deal with that? Like, all the disappointment that comes with dating, stress, all that stuff.
I actually just wrote a post last week, I think it was, and I did a little bit of clickbait because my title was "The Best Dating Advice I Can Give You," and I'm sure it made people be like, what? Because this is the last thing she should be giving advice on. But the post was essentially the reason why I'm able to kind of navigate this world of dating unscathed is because I have built a life for myself that I really love, and that doesn't involve dating someone or being in a relationship. So if I met someone who was really great and really worth, you know, being in my life, then that would just be like an added bonus. But I have essentially worked on, in the last 3.5 years of being single, working on a life for myself that makes me happy, involving people that make me happy and hobbies that make me happy and a job that makes me happy and fulfilled. And so when there's a setback and a disappointment, and there often are, it's not as gut-wrenching, because the alternative to being with this person is just, you know, living this life that I like living. So it doesn't mean I don't get disappointed and pissed and annoyed at the, you know, mankind, but it just means that the alternative isn't that bad for me. I kind of like being alone. I'd rather wait until it's right. And if that means I have to date until I'm 80 years old, which, God, I hope I don't, but I'll do it until, you know, the right person comes along. So I haven't met the right person, obviously, is what that's all telling me.
Good advice. I want to say, for, you know, just some advice for 80-year-old Allison. When she gets back in the dating pool, still use condoms. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. That's,
you know,
good advice.
Just because you're 80 doesn't mean you're invincible. That also goes for all the 80-year-olds who are not, who are raw dogging out there.
Oh,
and listening
God.
To the podcast.
Weird mental image.
Speaking of weird, I would love to hear a weird and or awkward dating story from you.
I have a lot, because I feel like I don't, this is why people tell me I need to, like, write a book, because I feel like I've had some weird stories, but this one I haven't told either in the blog or when I did DJ's podcast last month, and he asked me about the dating thing, but I went out with someone once, and I wasn't sure about him, so without getting into too much detail, I was just not sure, and so I kind of let him know that I wasn't sure, and then he was like, give me one more shot. And, like, you know, one more date, and then you can kind of make your decision, you know, whether you want to move forward or not. While we were on the date, I think, looking back, he was someone who had, he was really insecure and his ego bruised easily. And he went to get another drink for us. And the guy next to me, who was actually with his girlfriend, by the way, started talking to me in, like, a very casual way. He was like, oh, me and my girlfriend want to know, like, are you on a first date with this guy, blah, 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 like, that kind of thing.
Right,
and
yeah.
And so when the guy turned around with our drinks and saw me talking to a guy, I think I, you know, he got his, like, manhood insulted.
Mm.
And his demeanor completely changed. He was threatened, I think. Maybe he felt like I was disrespecting him when I was not, but long story short, he came back to the table and continuously pushed my damn buttons. And I was not having it, and we started, like, getting into it. And I don't even remember. Something had to do with my, like, dating history, or him thinking that I, like, wasn't, like, adventurous enough, because he was very, like, free-spirited. And he started to, like, insult me. And basically where I am at in life is I don't have to take this shit. So I started looking in my bag because I was about to, like, throw a 20 at him and leave. And I guess he gathered that I was about to leave. So he stood up and, like, threw his drink down on the table, and everything, like, glass broke, and things fell over, and he stormed out and left.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I think he was like, he's like, you've already, you know, made me feel stupid, and now you're about to walk out, so I'm walking out first. And this was our second date, mind you. So it was so dramatic and intense, but he was really terrible.
When was this?
Last year.
Wow.
It's called out, yeah.
And I'm assuming that he was, like, an age-appropriate dude for you?
Oh, yeah. So he was a year older than me.
What?
He was a little weird. Like, a funny guy, which I'm attracted to funny, but had a really weird, like I said, very free-spirited, without getting into, like, too much detail. Like, he was just into stuff that I wasn't, and,
I don't even know what you're hitting. I can't wait to find out what you mean when I stop recording.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you on the side. But, yeah, so I think he just was feeling a little maybe emasculated by me, the fact that I wasn't sure if I even wanted to see him a second time, and then when I did, he saw me talking to a guy while he got up to get a drink, so he was, like, hell-bent on, like, ruining my night when he came back. Like, he was just so insanely rude, and, like I said, pushing buttons, and trying to get a rise out of me, which works. I'll be the first to admit, you can get a rise out of me very, very easily. So he was doing a great job, and it ended with my first experience of a man, like, essentially throwing a drink. So, not in my face, obviously.
Yeah, but jeez.
Yeah, it was so aggressive. Like, I felt, and then I was like, I have to, like, block him on everything, because I'm, like, scared of this psycho. So,
jeez.
That wasn't fun.
That does not sound fun at all.
All right, your turn.
All right, so I don't think I've ever told this one on the podcast, but it was, so I was on a first date a couple years back, and she was cool. We met up. We went to get Mexican food. We're hanging out. Everything was cool. And I think she was like 24, and she was getting her master's degree, and she lived at a dorm. So midway through the dinner, she was talking about, you know, one time she was locked out of her dorm, and I'm like, huh, that's funny. Housing. Let me tell you a story about how my friend asked to spend the night with me, and I was like, no, go to Westchester. So I tell her the story, and we're at a bar. Last train is at 3 a.m. We can either do that or we stay out all night. And, you know, we're bros. I was like, let's just stay out all night and do shots, because we're, you know, in our 20s. And somehow, me saying I didn't want my friend to sleep on my sofa was, like, the most offensive thing she could imagine. Because we were on a date for an hour, and then we spent another hour of her lecturing me about being a good friend. I swear to God.
What a bitch in time for you.
Oh, yeah, and I'm sitting there, and this was the first time that I realized that if you're on a first date and you never want to see the person again, let them pay. And that was just, like, the turning point in my dating life. Because we're on this terrible, at first it was an awesome date, and then she's just like, I don't understand how you don't want to have your best friend stay with you.
I'm
like,
stop it.
I'm like, you don't have your own apartment, that's why. You don't get it. I don't want
to
wake up.
But even still, what a stupid thing to do on a date with someone is lecture them. You should never be lecturing anyone on date one.
Yeah, that's usually a bad time. So we finished our pitcher of margaritas. And then she was like, did the reach. And I was like, yeah, no, I agree. You should pay for happiness. And then that's she was like, it was great to meet you. She's like, oh, we should do this again. And I was like, no. She's like, oh, aren't you walking to the 2 train? And I was like, nah, I'm gonna walk home. I'm gonna walk 2 miles home. I don't even want to walk in the same direction as you.
Even me, who's very comfortable and pretty open with my thoughts, there have been times where I'm like, you cannot leave. You literally just got here.
Wow. I've never had a date that bad.
I obviously have a horrible vetting process.
No, I think it's more that there's so many ways that before you meet a guy, he could be terrible, you know? But
yeah.
It's so... You know, I only date women, so I only know what it's like to date women. And I don't know if I pick well so much as it's just... you know, you can use, like, if a woman's going to be, like, crazy, you can pick up on it pretty early. With a guy, it's like, I'm pretending not to be crazy so I can try to get in your pants, but I can only keep this, I can only keep it up so long. So, you know, you find out halfway through a date.
One of the worst traits that I've found on a date with a guy is the, obviously, you know, you exchange kind of pleasantries in the beginning if you don't know each other, so you do the whole, like, you know, so what do you, what did you say you did for work or whatever, which is a boring conversation, but it's necessary. And I've had, I've asked guys that question, and they've spoken for, like, 28 minutes straight. And I'm like, how on earth do you not realize that this is, like, and I'm practically falling asleep while they're speaking. Like, I don't understand. Those are the kinds of dates where I'm like, it's so one-sided. The guy is talking constantly, and they never reciprocate. So everything I ask them, they answer for eternity. And then when they're done talking, it's like they don't even then say, like, well, what about you? So then it just, it's like an interview. It's horrible. And I've had a couple of those, which I think there's a stigma that women talk a lot and talk about themselves, but I've experienced quite the opposite.
Yeah, honestly, in my experience, every person I've dated for, like, more than a couple of dates has pretty much been, you know, hey, let me talk about myself a little bit, let me ask about you, and whether or not they're good listeners is another thing, but at minimum, at minimum, they'll just reciprocate your question, like...
Yeah.
And usually they don't speak for a half an hour. I have not yet been on a date with somebody who spoke for 30 uninterrupted minutes about their job.
I once asked a guy I went on a date with a while ago, had a really interesting job. So he worked for all those Marvel Netflix shows.
What?
And he was a location scout. I don't even know his name because he was so horrible. But obviously that's a really cool job because he had to, like, scout locations for them to film.
Yeah.
And all I said was, how do you even get into that? Because I don't think there's a major in college for, like, location scouting. So, and it's a really, you know, interesting thing to get into. And I shit you not, he started his answer with, well, when I was in high school, and I was like, guy, you're 35. By the time you get to your current age, if you're going to start in high school, like, we're going to be here all night. Like, he was like, in high school, this is what I used to want to do. And then I went to college, and it just, he, like, told me his life story. And then the end answer was like, oh, I had a friend who got me the job. And I was like, could have just said that.
Yeah, could have just said that. Could have just
There was so much talking. It was just, and it was boring. Like, if you have an amazing story on the first date and you're a really good storyteller, by all means, take the mic and go. But this wasn't interesting. It was really boring. And then when he was done, instead of saying, well, shit, I just talked a lot, like, your turn, he continued to answer everything like that until I had to lie. And I was like, I totally forgot I'm supposed to go to my parents tonight to pick something up. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I literally need to leave, like, right now. And then I think we hadn't exchanged numbers because we had met on one of the apps. And I just unmatched him from the app, so he didn't even have my number to, like, follow up with me. That was mean. But I couldn't. Ooh. I honestly, it was insufferable, and I couldn't endure it again.
Yeah. I mean, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10 with meanness, that was, like, a 2.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, at least you didn't message him like, I'm unmatching you because all you did was talk about yourself. Like,
I mean, I thought about it.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes people need to know because you're almost doing them a disservice. And that's something I do with, like, my actual friends. So if I have a friend who doesn't shut the hell up, I'm like, I hope you don't do this on dates. And then, like, it's my way of being open with them, but it's really hard to do it to a person. And not for nothing, this is going to sound uber dramatic, but I watch a lot of Dateline. Women have to be a little careful with the stuff that they say to men after a date. So if I was, like, really vicious and, you know, said to this guy, like, you didn't shut the hell up, and it was really, really, like, it just insufferable to sit with you, there's a good chance that, you know, I'd be murdered by this person.
You know, it's entirely plausible.
Really, I told you, I watch a lot of Dateline, and I read a lot of articles about women who reject men and then get, like acid thrown in their face or something. So
yeah, no.
I try to keep it civil.
On the topic of throwing acid in people's faces, no. So what dating apps do you use?
So I would consider myself to be on somewhat of a dating hiatus at the moment.
Ooh.
I think if you're doing, like, the online dating thing, you only get out what you put in, basically. And if you are really busy, which I am at the moment, I know everyone's so annoying and they all say they're so busy and I get it, but, like, work is really busy for me right now, and because of the holidays, my weekends are really busy. Like, I just had back-to-back Saturday, Sunday holiday stuff and things planned and concerts and going to shows and whatever, seeing friends for birthdays. I don't have a minute. So I think I'd be doing a disservice to anyone if I was matching up with them, and then when they asked me to go out, I'd be like, oh, I actually can't. How's 2017 look for you? So I'm kind of taking a break. The only one I have on my phone is Hinge, which is kind of new for me. Bumble was really pissing me off. And quite frankly, I was really tired of having to take lead because it's exhausting. So
really?
I mean,
Interesting.
Yeah, I just was getting really tired of having to always be the icebreaker. I get that that's the gist of it, and I get why they do it, but it just started to get really, like, do I have to be witty every single fucking time, or do I have to, like, you know, the guy in his bio is like, just don't say anything like hi or hey or what's up, because I won't answer. And I'm like, oh, screw you. So I like going back old school to the ones where you match and then anyone can write anyone.
Yeah.
Just for now. Bumble I do like in terms of, like, I think it's the best out there quality people-wise, if that makes sense. It's like what Tinder used to be, but the girl writing people thing actually creates more rejection than guys may think.
Really? Why do you say that?
Well, guys don't answer you.
Oh, more rejection for women. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'd get like 70% of the time I just didn't even get a response. Even if I came up with something really, what I thought was really clever. And then I would just get crickets and I'm like, you dick.
Yeah. Somebody messaged me today and was like, I don't even remember swiping them, which is a thing now. They were like, are you an active user? I'm like, are you measuring data? Like, no, I'm not an active user. Screw you.
Weird opener. That was her opener?
I think her opener was, not even hi, hello. It was like, are you an active user? And then she unmatched me. And it was just like, I don't want to. Yeah, I think I might have to go on an app hiatus because I am just too busy. I didn't realize how busy I was until, like, just seeing friends over just this holiday season. It's just like, I can barely see friends, let alone go on dates.
Right, exactly. And it's not like, it's a numbers game. So it's not like, well, if you went on a date, you're going to obviously meet the woman or man of your dreams. No, you're going to meet a lot of, you know, garbage humans. So it's like, I don't want the free time that I have to be spent on a bad date. Like, that's what my mentality is right now. Like, if I have one night free next week, and that's Wednesday, and now this guy I'm talking to on Hinge wants to go out, and we go out and it's a bad night, I'm going to be mad. I'm actually going to, like, take the train home from the city and be like, I could have been home watching that Scientology documentary that Leah Remini has. Instead, I was doing this.
Wait, she has one too?
Oh, it's so good. Just starting.
And it's separate from, like, Going Clear.
Yes, that was an HBO thing. This is an A&E docuseries. There's been two episodes so far, and it's everything.
Oh, man. It's going to suck when Scientology murders her, but, you know.
They're definitely
going to kill her.
Oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Leah. You're great. And I appreciate all the, you know, expose work you're doing, but you are dead meat. Tom Cruise and his cronies are coming after you.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. But good for her. Good for her working. You know?
Yes. It's really good TV. I recommend it. But these are the kinds of things I like to do when I have a free minute. Like, when you and I are done here, I'm watching Insecure on HBO, and I just started it last night. Like, I can't wait to watch a couple episodes before I go to sleep. Like, this is what I enjoy in life. So if I go on a bad date, I'm going to be thinking, you're making me miss episodes of this show I really like.
I've definitely been on dates where I'm like, man, why did I was just playing video games. Why did I stop?
Why am I not eating those leftovers from last night?
Oh, man. Oh, that just speaks to me. I don't know if that's just because it just speaks to me in my soul.
Good, I'm glad.
You
get it.
Yeah, I do. So, let's say you do go on a date with some guy. So, you're on a date with a guy. What can he do to make a good first impression with you?
Good question. I love respect, and you shouldn't have to say that, but I still think it is worth saying, especially in this day and age. Not just respect to me, because that's obvious, but respect to everyone. So how do you treat the bartender? How do you treat the, you know, waiter or waitress? How do you treat if a guy walks by you and bumps you? Are you going to be a meathead asshole about it, or are you going to be polite? Those are the kinds of things I look at. And how you talk about other people, too. So respect is a big thing. And honestly, this might be unpopular opinion, but do not get sloppy drunk. Do not. If we are on day one and you're like three vodka sodas in and you're slurring your words, I'm so unattracted to that.
What if you're like three vodka sodas in, but you're not slurring your words?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. I mean, you need to know your limit. Okay. You know, I know my limit, and three vodka sodas would be it, and I would be starting to get sloppy McGee, where like the one eye starts to squint and it just gets like weird and no. But I'm also not really I'm not a big drinker anyway, so I usually have one or two on like a first date. But I've been on dates where the guy's like ripping drinks like there's no tomorrow, and not every person can handle their liquor. Like, I have guy friends who can drink all night and they're still fine, but I've been on dates where guys are like tripping over themselves when they get up, and it's such an unattractive quality. And I also just think it's really immature, because like you said, we're not 23 years old where a date should be like, let's do fireball shots and like get sloshed together. It should be like conversational, and I want to know that you're coherent and not blacked out.
You know, I think I've only been on one date where I showed up and she was blackout, and I was like, okay.
Whoa, is she pre-gaming?
Yeah, I've been on a couple of dates where they clearly pre-gamed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it works for some people.
It works for some people, it's not for everyone.
No. I feel like when I get to that point where I'm a little too far gone, like, I'm not even, like, cute anymore. Just, like, I don't care so much about, like, hairs being out of place, so I probably look like a disheveled mess. Like, I need to be together, at least on day one.
Yeah, at least day one.
Yes. Day two, I'm like, I didn't wash my hair, but whatever.
So what's your go-to first date look?
Ooh, I like a little fashion question there. If I'm going out after work, luckily I dress, it's a modern company, so I can dress pretty like casual there. But if I had a date after work, I would say I'd probably be in like a dress of some sort, but like a casual one, and like booties, which are my favorite footwear. If it's a weekend and I'm not coming from work, I might do like skinny jeans and some kind of like little bit of a dressier top and heels. I always have a heel on though, not stripper heels, not 6-inch heels, but probably a good like 3-incher. So that is why girls do ask about height. I know it really pisses dudes off, but it also just, we want to make sure that we can like do that. So if I'm 5'4", but I'm going to be 5'7" on this date and you're 5'7", like I want to know that.
Yeah, I don't, it only pisses off dudes who are short.
Yeah, well,
I'm don't. Never, if a girl, like, every time a woman has ever asked me how tall are you, I'm like, oh, I'm 6'2".
Yeah, right.
Because exactly. I'm tall. Like, it's like, I'm so angry that this thing is going to work in my favor. Like,
no. Absolutely. I mean, that's stating the obvious, I think. I don't think any guy who's, like, 6'3 is going to be insulted by the question. In fact, they probably welcome the question.
I love it.
But I just think there's so much anger directed around that question, because there are all those, you know, memes and stuff about how, you know, if you have a 5 in front of your height, then I'm not interested. So it's like, oh, you won't date a dude if he's 5'11"? Like, all right. But We are also asking to be sort of mindful of your height. And, like, to me, 5'8", you're only going to be a little taller than me when I have heels on. So I just want to know that going in, because then maybe I won't wear, like, my highest of high heels and I'll wear something a little lower or whatever. I'm not wearing flats, though, boys, okay? So get over it.
I mean, you are a lady.
I am a lady, and I like to elongate.
You're a lady who likes to elongate. That's funny.
I mean, I'm 5'4", so I'm like Stumpy McGee with flats on.
If I remember correctly, after reading one of your like flashback throwback posts,
I know where this is.
What was it? 5'4 and petite?
Yes. Right. You had a really funny comment about that, saying that like my Bumble profile should be like, she's petite, but her chest isn't, or something.
Yeah, that was, God, that was the...
Right, for context, because no one knows what I'm talking about, I was in, when I was, like, 22 or 23, I was in Lucky Magazine, which is a fashion magazine, so I'm basically a supermodel, but I had a friend who worked for the magazine, and they had a segment called What Works For Me, and it was basically people with, like, weird, distorted bodies, and, like, how to dress for them, and she was like, hey, Allie, we're looking for girls who are, like, tiny, but, like, have big boobs, so naturally, I thought of you, can you come do it, and I wasn't even thinking of the repercussions of doing something like that, which is like your parents are really excited you're in a magazine, but then you have to tell them why you're in it. So it was like my dad's like, I want to see this magazine you're in, and I'm like, no, it's cool, we're good, you don't need to see my bra size written in print. But Yes. So I did put it on the blog, though, because every once in a while I forget about it, and then something will make me remember it, and I find the article, and it just makes me laugh, because the quotes, the fake quotes that they have in there from me are just awful.
Yeah, it was amazing, I will say.
It really was. It was cool.
Absolutely amazing. Going back to fashion, have you ever, like, set up a date, and the guy shows up just looking just full-on mess?
I actually haven't. Which, really? Out of all the weird things that I've experienced in the dating world, that is not one of them. I have to say that I've kind of been on both sides of the spectrum, where I've gone out with guys who are, like, finance dudes, so they've been, like, in really nice, like, three-piece suits, which is obviously always a plus for women. But then I've gone out with guys who have more casual jobs like I do, and they still are in, like, a button-down and jeans, and I've never seen anyone too casual. Because there is such a thing, I think, as too casual. Like, if you had, like, a t-shirt, sneakers, and, like, a backwards hat on date one, I'd be like, all right, are we going to, like, a Giants game, or what are we doing? thankfully, no. I think you just have to, like, look neat. No matter what you're wearing, just, like, look neat and presentable. You don't have to be in a three-piece suit, obviously. But if your job requires that you wear one, don't change out of it. I think guys don't realize how much girls love to see that. But no, I haven't seen anyone in anything weird. But now you know you've cursed me, right?
So yeah, I'm totally...
Next day to go on, he'll be, like, wearing something completely idiotic or, like, a pet peeve of mine, like a turtleneck or something.
He's going to wear a full sweatsuit.
Velour.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes. But, like, also with a sweatband on his head,
no!
On his wrist.
You know, are you purposely describing all of Long Island circa, like, 2001?
Yes. Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know that look well.
Yes. The first girl I ever met and dated from Long Island, I distinctly remember the reason that I was like, oh, I'm going to hit on her. It's because she was wearing white Nikes. And I was like, white Nikes and velour sweatpants. And I was like, this is the kind of girl I could really see myself with.
Yeah. Guys still love that stuff. I feel like I always hear guys saying, like, you know, they love to hear that girls are wearing, like, you know, like, I have dunks. And every time I wear them, I get the most compliments from guys. They're like, yo, love your kicks.
Yeah,
and
dudes just want
to
date other dudes.
Seriously. Like a sexier version of, like, their boy.
Yeah, it's like, I want to date my boy, but, like, with boobs.
I think you just came out with, like, a breakthrough in the dating world.
Yeah, no, it really is. And women seek out, like, very idealized versions of men. And men seek out idealized versions of dudes who are women. Like, that's all the... they're like, I want her to be chill and, like... you know, be okay with video games and sports. And women are like, I want a guy who is very masculine and is going to be, you know, smart and suave and tall and handsome. And guys are like, yeah, bro, backwards hats, maybe a beard, who knows? Like, okay, all right. I see where you're going.
No, I think you're onto something. I also heard recently that people are attracted to, like, their counterpart. So basically, like, what you would look like if you were a girl. And it's because we're all, like, such glaring narcissists that we essentially want to date ourselves. So that's why, like, but then if you ask me, and I'm like, that's crazy. But then people are like, do you ever date blondes? And I'm like, ew, no. So everyone I ever date is, like, brown hair, brown eyes, kind of olive skin. And I'm describing myself right now.
Yeah, but that's also a lot of the world.
That's true.
Yeah, it's super easy to date someone. Like, most people I've dated have dated people who are... you know, black hair or brunette and, like, dark brown eyes. Like, I look like most people, so if anyone goes on a date with me, they've dated most of the world. You know,
some... I just like the idea that we're all, like, just so obsessed with ourselves that since we can't date ourselves, we want to date, like, the opposite sex version of ourselves.
I've actually never done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel...
So I only...
You do see, like, brother-sister couples a lot in the world, right?
Yeah, you definitely do.
You actually could be related.
I have never... And so much so that I've never even dated... seriously, anyone who looks like they could even be related to me. Like, not even...
Do you like blondes or something? Pale blondes?
No, I actually date, like, fully across the spectrum. My last ex was she was from Long Island. She was tall. That's kind of like me, but she was the blondest person ever. Like, naturally, too.
Oh,
yeah, tall, blonde, did not look like me. Like, pale.
Okay, so you're debunking the whole theory, then. Right.
No, I'm just, like,
you're
an aberration.
Not a narcissist.
And then, like, the ex before that, which was, like, years ago, she was 5 feet tall, 90 pounds, and, like, a brunette with, like, curly hair.
Wow, so you have, like, no type.
I have no type. No, my type is
that
just...
That actually works in your favor.
My type is just, like, generally supportive. You know, like, oh, you're doing
well,
a good job.
Good luck with that. You might as well find a freaking unicorn.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. Like, someone who's gonna read my blog and not say, I no longer want to date you.
What happens for you when you actually have, like, a serious girlfriend? Do you still... Well, I guess you could still put your blog up.
Yeah. What I've learned, and a lot of dating bloggers hit this wall eventually where there's no more stories to tell. Like, I only have so many stories, and luckily I get to spread them out over a podcast and, like, a little tidbit of a story in a blog. But if you blog about your dating life every day or, like, every week or even every month, sometimes there's just nothing going on. So.
Oh, trust me. I get it. I actually wrote a post once that was called, like, because after I was doing all of these dating posts about, like, my experiences and thoughts and opinions and rants about dating, I actually kind of reached that point of that, like, tipping point, and my post was called, like, dating has given me writing material, but nothing else. Meaning, like, it's not fulfilling me at all, except it's only giving me fodder for this blog, which, great, except that literally is all it's given me. It has not given me anything valuable in my life aside from that, so... I actually forgot about that post. I'm feeling like it's very relevant again.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that. So far in the year of 2016 is basically over, I have not gone on any dates where I learned something formative that I could give anyone any advice on. Like, all I could tell people is, like, you know what? Just stick with everything I've said so far. Nothing's changed. Yeah. You know, like... Yeah.
Well, maybe 2017's our year.
No, I would much rather have nothing. I would much rather have no material for my dating life. That's usually a good sign. When I have material,
exactly,
bad.
Exactly. If I'm like, in, like, a good, healthy thing, you're not going to see me, you know, write a single word about dating, because I'm actually going to, like, be pretty quiet on that subject if things are going well. So you know when I'm back in the dating world if I start writing about it again.
Oh,
if
I can't
I'm not,
wait.
You can probably surmise that I'm, like, hanging out with someone.
Ooh.
So, as you'll notice, I wrote about dating a couple days ago, so clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, when you start writing about, like, where to travel to meet swarthy, olive-skinned brunettes, like, we'll know what's up.
Maybe.
I sort of mentioned it, but has anyone ever found your blog and then said, I don't know about dating?
Kind of. Not that they didn't want to continue seeing me, but I think it raised some red flags, because when guys find out that I write and that I do dabble in the world of dating, I think they automatically get defensive that, like, everything we discuss and everything that happens is now going to end up on my site. And the thing is, that isn't what my blog is about. It's not a dating blog. So I'm not looking for material. I'm not Carrie Bradshaw, like, going on dates just because I need new material. So I always, when I try not to disclose it, but it is really easy to find. And let's face it, we all Google each other. And so guys have been like, you have a blog? And I've gotten a few times, like, don't write about me. I'm like, get over yourself, bro. I wasn't gonna. Like, I don't write about everybody, not to mention, I don't actually specifically always write about things. I write about them in a very general sense. So it's definitely worried some dudes, but it doesn't happen that often. Actually, I've also had the opposite, too, where a guy that someone set me up with read my blog first and had, like, gone ham on that thing. So he read so many posts that the first time we hung out, he kept, like, referencing it. And he was like, I'm a big fan of it. Like, sorry, before we met, I was kind of, like, doing recon on you, and I read your post, and, like, this one was really funny, and this one made me think. And so that actually made him kind of want to meet me more.
Ooh.
So that was nice. But, yeah, I'm not going to do anything to make it less visible, or, you know, you can't. It's me. So if anything, you're going to get to, like, take the fast track to learning more about me, because it is very much representative of me. So if you don't like my blog, you ain't going to like me either. So you might as well find out sooner than later.
Yeah. I often struggle with, it's one of the, you know, like, people ask, what do you do? And I, like, my day job, I, like, never talk about with anyone, like, at all. Like, the only thing I mention
yeah,
is,
I don't know what you do.
And it's better that way. I work for a very, very large company.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I'll tell you offline. But
okay.
And it's a very boring job, so, like, I already don't want to talk about it, but I'm also So then on dating sites, people are like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, you know, and then I'm like, that's a boring conversation. So I inevitably bring up, like, well, I also write a blog and I have a podcast, and they're like, what is that about?
Yeah. Oh, dating.
And then I'm like, so now, like, my whole spiel is, it's not about my dates, it's about dating and advice and relationships, which now becomes the same conversation that goes like this. So what do you write about? Dating. Oh, okay. Like, how? Dating advice. Okay, so give me a piece of advice. I don't want to give you a piece of advice on a date. Like, no. No. Your advice is, don't go on another date with anyone else. I'm more charming. Like, that's the advice I want you to take. That's,
I hate when people do that.
So. I can't just give you random advice out of the sky. Like, I don't know. That's eat vegetables? Not. I don't know.
It's like if someone was like, oh, I'm a stand-up comedian. They were like, all right, well, then say something funny. It's like, yeah. No, it's for you.
I gotta get better at my, like, elevator pitch. Like, my one piece of advice. I gotta get really intense, like, really self-helpy. Like, my one piece of advice is be true to who you are.
Oh, there you go. That's okay.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, all right. I can
a little cliche. You can do better. I think you can do better.
Allison, before we close, do you prefer Allison or Allie? I probably should have asked.
I go by Allie more. But I obviously respond to Allison. It is my government-given name. But I do go by Allie more in my, like, personal life. So, yeah, I know, I don't know, I mean, it is my Twitter handle, but I don't know that I necessarily have a preference, but I would say more people do call me Allie, though.
Well, now when people tweet at you and say, you know, I'm a troll and I listen to that podcast.
And you murder babies.
Yeah, but they're like, now I know which name to call you.
But I go, I mean, a lot of people actually do call me AA, which I think is so funny because it's a weird nickname to have, but it is a nickname. Like, people at work call me AA or AA. And so I've noticed even in my, like, blog comments, people will be like, oh, I just read your post, AA. And I'm like, oh, all right, we're calling me that? That's fine. I like it, though.
Yeah, I mean, AA. People just call me D, and I feel like that's not even really a nickname. That's
I think I've done that before.
Yeah. It's funny because
her name's
people,
Mom.
People just naturally call me D. So now, like, all my friends call me D, but nobody in my family ever calls me D, because we're all named D.
There you go.
Yeah, like, my co-host is Delaney, and my mom is Denise. You know, just... what I wanted to ask you to close is for a piece of dating advice.
It's gotta go back to, like, what I said before, which is most people think about what they can do to better their dating life, or how they're always thinking about, like, how to meet the perfect person, but I think it's so much more about working on yourself, because people you date are going to be attracted to really confident, independent people. And if you're so desperate to be in a relationship, they can smell that on you. And it becomes very obvious that you're insecure and that you really want to be with someone and that you don't necessarily have an independence about you and that you'll drop everything at a dime to hang out with this person. Like, I think it's really important to work on yourself and to be happy with yourself and to have respect for yourself. And if you have plans with your best friend on a Friday night and that guy who's been, like, dicking around and not asking you out asks you at 8 p.m. if you want to hang out Friday night, tell him, dude, you waited too long. I have plans, so, like, ask me in advance next time. Like, those are the kinds of things I hear people do where they make themselves too easily accessible and available, and those are the ones that end up getting hurt. So, you know, be a strong, independent woman like Beyonce.
Yeah, I think everyone should be more like Beyonce.
I agree. I mean, I know, Lord knows I try every day. It just comes down to, like, not trying so hard. And
yes.
not allowing someone to treat you in a way that you don't want to be treated, and, like, kind of just dealing with it. Like, I think if you're being strung along, or a guy is doing that thing that I hate, which is basically, like, they want to talk to you, they want to be in contact with you, they want to see you, but then they give you the whole, I don't want a relationship. Well, bitch, you're in a relationship. This is a relationship. So if you don't want that, you don't get me at all. So, you know, I've had to do that before, where it's like, if this is going to be too casual, then no. So I think that's, you're going to get more respect that way. And it comes down to, like, respecting yourself enough to recognize when someone is treating you in a way that they should not be.
I'm nodding in approval.
Okay, good.
That was great. That's wonderful. I think that's a great piece of advice. You know, I think people get caught up in the idea that, you know, relationships are about compromise and all that. And yeah, that's true. But at some point, you have to have a line in the sand for yourself. Like, no, you know, I want to accommodate people, but that doesn't mean going to some guy's house at 3 a.m. because this is the one time he texted me.
Right, like, exactly. You know. You let that boy know if he sends you a you up text at 1 a.m., like, that you're not the girl for that. So take that elsewhere. And they will respect you. And if they don't respect you, then you don't need them anyway. But the ones who actually do want to keep you around are the ones that are going to go, damn, good for her. Like, she put me in my place, and I'm not going to do that to her anymore. I'm not going to write her at 1 a.m. You know, you there? Are you up?
Everyone should take that advice, except anyone who gets those kind of texts from me. If you get a text like that from me, you know, maybe ignore Allison. What does she know about? What does she know about us, girl? What does she know about us? Allison, thank you so much. I might have to have you on the podcast again. There's so much I didn't even get to cover.
No, anytime. Oh, I love man. It.
You know, it's always great to do a podcast with a New Yorker because all we do is just talk shit.
That is my specialty. That so is... anytime you want to shoot the shit, talk about rants and hashtag funeral, I am your girl.
Hashtag funeral. Oh,
go look it up.
I'm not going to do it. I do go on, I will say this, one of my favorite things to do on the internet is to go into the depths of, like, the sewers of the internet.
Like, of course, but this is not, you're not going to get much more sewer than this.
Yeah, like, one of my all-time favorite hobbies is to go on to, say, I'll go to Van Jones, and he'll tweet something.
Yeah.
And then I'll go read the replies to the tweets, and I try to find the grossest, most... just scum of the earth, white supremacists. And then I go look at their tweets, and I'm just like, wow, people exist, and they think these things. Like, what?
I thought I was the only one who did that.
No, I do it all the time. But funeral, might be a bridge too far.
Fine, all right, you've got limits.
Man's got to have a limit, you know?
Like, I do not have limits.
Yes, you three drinks, or... unlimited funeral hashtags. Like, that's how Allison rolls.
If you're going to put a Snapchat flower crown on your dead grandma, I am here for it.
I mean, rather that than, like, the puppy one. Like, that's...
someone face swapped for the...
Lest we forget, you know. I can't wait to face swap with, like, dead people.
Ooh,
can't wait for that to be a thing. That's the worst sequel to Face Off ever. Allison, all right, I don't want to keep you too late, so thank you once again. I really do appreciate you coming
on to
the podcast. No, of course,
thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. And,
it was.
Thank you again.
Thank you, and good luck out there. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dow of Indifference podcast. If you liked this episode and want more sex, dating, and relationship advice, subscribe to the Dow of Indifference on iTunes or Stitcher. And check out the blog at dowofindifference.com for more sex, dating, and relationship advice. Thank you for listening, and good luck out there.